Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, Christmas is not always filled with sweetness and light. One of my favorite stories is about a little 8-year-old girl who had in her estimation, most disappointing Christmas. She did not get the gifts that she asked for. She got into an argument with her brother and later on got into a fight and was caught fighting with her brother, and she was blamed. And she took out her anger on the cat, which is a very bad idea. And the cat scratched her nose, and she found herself band-aided up in bed earlier than usual on Christmas night. She went ahead and said her prayers, even though she was a little bit angry and disappointed, but she sort of added to the tail end of her prayer this. She said, "And forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us." It reminds me of the good times when our children were small that I now miss so terribly, and I didn't even realize they were the good times when I was in the midst of them. Yes, of course, older folks told me, pay attention, and of course, I thought I knew better, and of course, I did not. I missed my children and grandchildren this year. This was the first year that we didn't have anyone at all, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. No fun people. Well, just me and Caroline. And mostly we talked about that the kids weren't there. Now, you parents with kids at home, please don't let me hear you say, "I can't wait for school to start back up." And I don't want to hear that anything about the mess of the wrapping paper or the boxes or the children who should have been more appreciative. You are right in the middle of the most precious, best time of your lives, and you don't know it. And you won't know it until it passes and the quiet sets in. Young parents, I heard an amen. Young parents, look at your children in the eyes and hug them every single day except when you have a cold, and teach them what they need to know. And live before them in the way you want them to live, because they will. Sooner than you think, that quiet comes. Now, that was a public service announcement. We're going to go back now to the regularly scheduled sermon. Now, thinking about grandchildren, I can't think of my grandchildren without thinking of dinosaurs, and I think I better explain. My grandson, Eli, is fascinated with dinos. He considers it his job to teach his little sister Dory and his new brother Felix all about dinos. He'll sit them down and they will listen adoringly as he explains all about dinos and which ones are carnivores and which ones are herbivores. Before they could even talk, he would explain all about how the dinos once ruled the earth with their tiny brains and massive bulk and muscles and horns and teeth. And his bedroom is a dino room. And he, as I said, reads the dino books. And occasionally, you know, I was a biology major in college, I'll try to talk about dinos with him. And he condescends and sort of pats my leg and says, no, Bilbo, you can't feed hamburgers to sauropods. They're herbivores. And he rolls his eyes and says, Bilbo doesn't know about dinos. The one thing that my grandson did not know, this is a sermon. The one thing that my grandson did not know about dinos until last year is that there aren't any anymore. He didn't realize it. It was so very sad. He took an exciting first trip ever to the Columbia Zoo with his parents, and he'd go from one display to the next little section. And finally, at the end, and this is the sad part, he looked up at his mother, my daughter Allison, and said to his mom, he asked, "Where were the dinos?" He didn't know. He knew everything about them except that they were extinct. Now he's changed his story just a little bit. He's still fascinated with them, but he talks about digging up their bones. And he's learned a new word, paleontologist. He's going to be smarter than me any day now. Sometimes, here's the sermon part. Sometimes as a preacher, I feel a little bit like a paleontologist. Sometimes I feel like I'm describing in detail all the attributes of the once glowing example of humankind known as Christians. I know all about their customs and their habits and the way they lived and the way they loved and the way they grew closer to the kingly example of the one whose birth we celebrate, Jesus Christ. And there are times when the lessons in our Sunday school classes and the devotions that we read every day seem a little bit like the study of some long time gone era. Back then, when real Christians roamed the earth. We admire them. We name them. We talk about their wonderful qualities, and then we close the book and we go back to our real lives, where we think we know that Christians like that are just no longer on display. We wonder if we will ever see the likes of these first Christians on the earth again. And some of us don't even dare think that one day we might become a Christian like they were. It just would not work in this modern time that we're in. It's just too complicated. It just wouldn't work. That's what I hear. How could we live with such an exclusive belief that God, the Creator God, came in flesh in the scandal of a particular man named Jesus and revealed to us what the one God had in mind for human life from the very beginning? Jesus, the God-man, who lived God's will before us and at the same time revealed just how far we have fallen from what God wants our lives to be. It is still possible to grow closer to the unique kind of human. Is it still possible to grow closer to the unique kind of human that Jesus was? Is it still possible to grow closer to the kind of fearless excitement and compassion that the apostles had? Well, let's look at Jesus again. If he is our model, and you know the story that I read, I forgot to point out, that story is depicted in glass right behind me, Jesus at the temple. If he is our model, I want to ask you, did Jesus grow? Did he grow? Look at that window behind me. It depicts the incident of today's scripture when he spoke with and he amazed the teachers in the temple with his perception and with the depth of his questions. It says in that chapter that you heard that Jesus did grow in wisdom, he grew in years, and he grew in favor with God and with people. If Jesus is our model, and if Jesus grew in wisdom, then so can we. In fact, we must. That dry and dusty old attitude of once long ago there used to be real Christians roaming the earth, that attitude is a cop-out. And we don't just study about them and say, isn't that wonderful, and close the book. And there's another dry and dusty attitude that I hear when an older saint of the church dies. You fill in the blank. We've had them. We've lost so many in the past few years. I very often hear the statement, they just don't make Christians like that anymore. That's a cop-out. You don't see them on display as often as you once did, but I think God is still making them. And if you want to be one, God the Holy Spirit is still present, still powerful, still making new hearts, still growing new people, still growing men and women in new ways. God is not extinct. And neither are God's children. Prayer is still an effective way to wrestle and to plead and to submit to the will of God, just as it was for Jesus and for all the saints since then. Christmas Eve, one of our members came up to me and mentioned that 50-something years ago, he spent a different Christmas Eve during World War II, looking up at the stars on a dark, dark night during wartime. And it reminded me of how war contradicts so much that we believe about Christ and about Christian faith and about the kingdom of God. The fact is, we are called to be faithful people even during war, and we are still at war. War makes something within us scream for Christmas and peace and a Christian faith to become real and for peace to become actual and for goodwill to become universal. We hunger for it. There's a wrongness about war. But that's the kind of world we live in. Something in our hearts knows we were made for better than the world actually is. And that we as individuals were made to be better than we actually are. The lack of the ideal which we saw in Jesus Christ walking among us does not mean that the Christian faith is lacking. It means that God has imprinted upon our souls the ideal of the life that He wants us to lead. In the midst of the Civil War, after his wife had died and after his son was seriously wounded, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow sat down at his desk on Christmas Day, and as the church bells were ringing, Longfellow wrote these lines, and I reread them this weekend, and they touched me again. He wrote, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound, the carols drowned, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men." Longfellow knew, in some deep place in his heart, that Christian faith has not gone the way of the dinosaur. It is the coming of the kingdom of God that we celebrate, but it has not yet fully come. War and hate and spite and divisions of all sorts are not what we were made for. We were made for peace, shalom, the love of God, the love of neighbor, even the love of enemy, and it shall live. It shall be made manifest. The kingdom is coming. Jesus grew. And we as individuals are growing. And history is going somewhere. We believe because of Jesus' teachings that it is going toward the kingdom of God, where God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And each of us as individuals go through ages and stages. And I know that some of you think that you have arrived. And in academic and sophisticated ways, you have rejected Christianity as a nice idea, but now extinct. And the church is little more than a museum. I know. I know this because I saw it on the faces of some of the obligatory visitors on Christmas Eve. They condescend to be here with family, but think that they have thought the last thought about Christmas and Christ. They think that it is all gone now, and we're all past that, and out on the thin air of something undefined with no particular God and no particular goal. If you feel that way, and I need to confess, as a college student, I felt that way. If you feel that way, let me warn you. You're not done yet. And God is not done with you yet. Jesus grew and you will grow. Don't succumb to the conceit that we are ever finished with God, or God is ever finished with us, or that the church is an extinct part of your life. I heard a young boy in a barbershop once say this, and I knew the minute that I heard it, I would be using it in a sermon. Today's the day. The barber asked the young boy, said, "Son, who do you want to be like when you grow up?" And the boy said, "Mister, I ain't found nobody I want to be like." Christians are those who have the audacity to say, "I want to be like Jesus." I don't think any of us are there yet. Jesus, though, we have pictured today as a teenager, and he grew in faith and understanding, and I think all of us reach an awkward stage in our spiritual growth. We live in an awkward time in our world where spirituality in general is encouraged and said to be of value. But if you get too specific and too particular and too serious about your faith in God revealed in Jesus, well, you might offend someone. Jesus offended many. And maybe even the elders in the temple, not because he was wrong or he was young, but maybe because he was penetratingly true and right. If you do nothing, you will not grow. I encourage you to go ahead and risk a regular prayer time, to risk a little personal thought about faith instead of analyzing it from a distance. And remember that Jesus was young, but Abraham and Sarah were old, and they had a big spiritual growth spurt. The greatest people in the Bible are those who started out with doubt and opposition or cynicism and then grew. You can find a new attitude. You can find a new faith. You can find a fire in your bones. Look at the folks who grew. Jeremiah, the unwilling prophet. Moses and Noah and Saul, who spit in contempt and then grew. Peter, who denied and then grew. David, who was unfaithful and then learned from his mistake. Jonah, who was angry when God spared Nineveh. Hosea, whose wife would not stay home at night, but he loved her and redeemed her no matter what, and was used as a symbol for God's love for Israel. Mary, who did not understand at first what sort of son she was going to have. Then Mary Magdalene, who was a prostitute. Ruth, who followed Naomi just because of loyalty. And then came to faith in Naomi's God. The people around these characters also grew, followed their example of faith, then grew on their own. If you are so past all that happens here, remember, growth beyond stagnation is possible, beyond cynicism is possible, and beyond your wildest dreams is a family tradition among the people of God. And I'll say something that will sound unexpected as I close. If you have rejected your childhood faith as inadequate to deal with the modern world, good. It's time that we all get beyond our childhood faith. That's the first step to grow into a faith that can overcome anything the world will throw at you. A living, breathing, growing faith. Walking daily with the God who has come as light in the darkness, the babe of Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, and who is still among us as God the Holy Spirit. Amen.